Hey, friends, I want to first thank you for tuning in to the SGT Report version of the podcast, The Propaganda Antidote. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? Yeah, shrinkflation. That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Same with the box of cereal. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now. It's how corporations are trying to hide inflation, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
They didn't open the door and buy the office chairs at Moderna without DARPA money. And BioNTech, who's the real provider of the mRNA to Pfizer, is IARPA and DARPA from day one. So we're living a DARPA world here.
Hey guys, that was citizen journalist George Webb. And I'm very pleased to welcome him to this broadcast. I think you're going to enjoy the conversation. So thanks for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about Michael Saylor, the Winklevoss twins, and Chamath Palihapitiya. What do they have in common? They're all billionaires, and they're all also investing in cryptocurrency. Yes, even the richest in the world choose to invest in the future through crypto. Just as when there's big talk about cryptos being volatile, the latest market dip being permanent, and the government cracking down on cryptocurrency and other issues, the billionaires are buying. Why? Because cryptocurrency is the future, and the best time to invest is when there's a dip. So if you want to invest in the future, start now and start with My Digital Money. With My Digital Money, you don't just get the opportunity to invest, you get the security of knowing you're investing with a US-based company that offers end-to-end service when you want it. So go to mydigitalmoney.com. And now back to the broadcast. Hey friends, thanks so much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGTReport.com here. Hey, I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. It's a blast from the past. On the line right now, George Webb Swigert. He went by George Webb on YouTube. Remember YouTube? Remember when I was on YouTube with 640,000 subscribers? Well, that all came to an end on October 15th of 2020 on the back of a Media Matters for America hit piece. YouTube loves to take their marching orders from organizations like that. George Webb joins me right now. George, how are you?
Great, Sean. It is an old home week. I remember you communicating with me back when I was here at Fort Detrick, 4 years ago now, and we were hot on the trail of one of the Awans in the spy ring up here named Hina Alvey at Fort Detrick. You know, why does a PAC-ISI operative need to be at Fort Detrick? You know, and now we have a big spill from some lab to cause the coronavirus pandemic. So, I think we might be in the right spot all along.
It's funny, just before I hit record, you mentioned you were near Fort Detrick, and I laughed and I said, of course, Fort Detrick, the birthplace of the anthrax attack on Congress after 9/11. And then you mentioned, yes, and there's also a tie to the coronavirus. We'll get into all of that. And you mentioned the Awan brothers. You know, I really think you're a deep, deep, deep researcher. I think you've probably forgotten more than I've ever known when it comes to some of these things. You helped uncover the spying on Congress, the BlackBerry blackmail potentially with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Awan brothers, Imran Awan. You were asking questions before many of us were. And I think you're really good at that. How did you get these types of skills? How did you become a researcher? And what is your background? What do you actually do for a living?
Well, I do this full time now, and I won't go into all the disruptions that have happened in my life. I was making, as you know, Sean, you don't make any money in this business or very little. I made a lot of money in another business and paid a huge amount of taxes, but I was a network analyst. I looked at IP addresses and I looked at physical devices and was a troubleshooter of networks, computer networks, big networks. We had a lot of big customers. Amazon was a customer, AT&T, you name them, basically, on the West Coast. And they were took our services in one way or the other. We had 7 different services. So, you know, I spent a lot of time with computers before that, Sun, HP, Hewlett Packard, IBM. But I think the forensics in finding a where is the fire in your network, this is the same sort of skill that we need here. It isn't good enough to say it's the CHI-COMS or the CCP, you know, because that doesn't get you to the next piece of evidence. You'd have to say, well, what's the IP address that Imran Awan used on that BlackBerry? And what, where in Pakistan is that connecting to from this little house at Fort Belvoir? And that's the kind of work we did. And that really is very productive because you're not guessing. You're not speculating. You're going actually on hard data, metadata.
Yeah, that's interesting. I can see how you could bring those skills to the table here as a researcher. And before I forget to ask, where can people find you right now? Because as I said, I've been kicked off of YouTube. I've been kicked off of Twitter. So I really live now in BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey, Gab, etc. Where do people find your work primarily?
Our website, the first thing you'll see is a link tree. A link tree is sort of, we've had to develop in this new world of getting whacked. We've had 29 channels whacked now on YouTube, I think, something like that. So the best place to go is Neighborhood News Studio. Just think of your a local friendly neighborhood citizen journalist. So neighborhoodnewsstudio.com. And then the first thing you'll see is a link tree. So you'll see Rumble, you'll see BitChute. And we also on that same website have podcasts. So a lot of people like listening to the podcasts because they're driving or they're working in the garage or whatever, some project. So that's where you can find us.
All right, very good. Neighborhoodnewsstudio.com. All right, you mentioned taxes. I want to talk about the deep state in a second, but first, you mentioned taxes. Literally last night, my wife was watching Tucker Carlson, and in his open monologue, he shared something I hadn't heard yet that made me so angry. I swore, I cursed out loud, and I swore, George, I don't think I can pay my federal taxes next year. I'm going to have my wife file separately so she doesn't get in trouble, but I don't think I can pay taxes to this criminal government any longer. U.S. in talks to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to families separated at the border. The Biden administration is in talks to offer immigrant families, they came across illegally, but they're immigrant families that were separated during the Trump administration around $450,000 a person in compensation for what was done to them. George, the government, the federal government is far more criminal than I could have ever imagined at this point. Do we even have a government at all?
Well, it is frustrating, Sean. I hear your frustration. I covered the election like you do. I remember when you got whacked, your channel and all the great work you were doing. We were all doing the same thing, trying to cover. We were in the swing states. I was in Michigan and Ohio covering those elections. And without fair elections, it is hard, Sean, to you know, to believe in the system anymore. I mean, I think after what happened, it's, you know, people just don't, they're thinking about how do I, you know, like exit now, you know, I've paid more taxes. I mean, there were some years I paid six digit years in taxes. So, I mean, and I've basically funded all these operations, right, that I'm doing now off some banner years I had in sales. I never did itemized or anything like that. I said, oh, the government needs an extra 5,000. It's easier for me to go make another 5,000 or 50,000 than it is to, you know, get all involved in the tax. So I wasn't a very good, I paid the government way too much money, I know, but I do think that there are certain things that just make your skin crawl. And that's one of them. There's a whole bunch of things like that. And I can sense your frustration. I know a lot of people now are thinking, hey, I love my country. I love this country. I'm going to fight as long as I can. But what's next? You know, AOC talks about the trains, the re-education camps and so forth, and the FEMA trains. I thought that was just Alex Jones, you know, way back when talking about that, you know, as conspiracy theory. But now you really start having to consider it.
Yeah. Well, that witch Walensky at the CDC, same thing. She says, for those who are vaccine hesitant, they're going to require re-education and counseling because they really need to understand the benefits of taking the experimental biological gene therapy. I mean, they are lying about everything, George. I mean, honest to God, what are we going to do here? And let's talk about what is the deep state. You and I have really dug into that over the years, but I think people are waking up to the fact that the deep state is a multifaceted hydra, which reminds me of the vaccines. They're finding hydras in the vaccine. That's lovely. So when we think about the deep state, we think about, I do at least, the Mossad, CIA, BlackRock, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, Carlyle Group, and then the foundations, Ford, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Soros. This is so much deeper than even Trump would allude to when he mentioned the deep state. And I do recall an interview when he said the deep state involves names you've never even heard of. And I think that's spot on.
Yeah, I do too. I think there are, you know, let's just take this one of those CFR. I think 90% of the people that have, I knew people in Washington when I was there for 4 years that had gotten invited to the CFR. But they go one or two quarters, and they're just basically there to be exposed to parties, you know, near the UN and be compromised. There's a group, though, like you mentioned, that's the Black Hand, that's the inner group that seems to be in all of these things. And, you know, Kissinger seems name comes up a lot. David Petraeus' name comes up an awful lot. KKNR is the one with BlackRock, and you mentioned Carlyle Group, George Bush and the gang, Bin Laden. Those names seem to come up over and over again when you get inside of the groups. Soros, of course, with the Open Society Foundation. And I just think it's like some people get merit badges. These deep staters like to have a whole bunch of front companies and foundations, so to be as confusing as possible. And that's why we try to punch through or pierce through those foundations or companies and get to the actual players. And it makes it a lot easier in terms of trying to connect the dots, I think.
Well, let's talk about this last election. We're told that Sleepy Joe Biden got 80 million plus votes, the most popular president in the history of the country. We can see that in the polls now. That does seem to be true. He's very, very popular. People really love this guy. What actually happened during this last election? And do you think Trump is an actual president if he were allowed to be there? Or do you think he's just one of these puppet players as well?
You know, I was at January 6th. I followed the runoff election. I covered the runoff election in Georgia for the Senate, two Senate seats. You know, I looked Kelly Loeffler right in the eye and said, are you going to vote to look into it? Just look into it. I mean, just the regular process for checking and validating the vote. And Senator Perdue, I asked him the same thing. He actually pulled me closer until I was about an inch away, you know, from him. And he whispered in my ear, absolutely, man, we're going to do it. So people on January 6th just went to see if their senator was going to make good on their promises that they made the campaign trail. There was no evil intent. It was a sort of a Woodstock. When all these young military type guys with whisper microphones and all the camo and everything got all into it, it's very rehearsed. It seemed like a very small core group that false flagged that. So that's what I mean is I don't know all the results of the election. I saw a lot of irregularities. CCF Center in Michigan was one of them that we saw where people seemed to vote 3, 4, or 5 days after the election. But again, I'm not there certifying, but I at least want to do the same thing that Nancy Pelosi did in 3 or 4 elections, which is certify it. So what I felt was that they ran this false flag operation for Psych Ops Group, all these FBI informants, Joe Biggs, Enrique Terrio. They ran this false flag operation because they didn't even want to allow for a chance for Trump to win. Even if it was a 1% chance, they just decided, no, let's just false flag this. And they never had the vote. If you remember, they never had the vote. It was all about how bad people were to come see their senator and see how their senator voted.
All right, we're going to circle back because I do want to flush that out a little further as it pertains to Trump and how you view him. But since you mentioned Joe Biggs, I think Joe Biggs is still in solitary confinement in a little hellhole. Is that not true? And also, I was shocked to learn that Stuart Rhodes, the head of Oath Keepers, the founder of Oath Keepers, continues to be named as one of these unindicted co-conspirators. And the FBI doesn't seem to be coming clean about what Stuart Rhodes' role was in all of this. Do you think Stuart Rhodes was an FBI informant?
I don't know. That's one name I'm not familiar with. I have met Joe Biggs in person and talked to him quite a bit. And, you know, people have different opinions about different people. Joe worked, he told me himself to my face at the Trump Hotel that he worked for Stanley McChrystal. He was embedded to tell the story and sort of shadow Michael Hastings when Michael Hastings was there reporting. Hastings came out with a kind of a negative version of McChrystal. Biggs always kind of was positive on him.
They suicided Hastings. Didn't they slam his car into a tree at 100 miles an hour?
Yeah. 3 a.m. So, you know, there's Joe Biggs just had one of those sketch type backgrounds, being very close to the military intel. And I saw when he came over, I had suspected him of when I had seen Terrio, who was leading the Proud Boys, Enrique Terrio. I remember the conversation very clearly after a friend of mine shot pictures of him that, hey, a black Cuban guy leading a white supremacist group, supposedly, that doesn't make any sense. And so he was arrested before the January 6th, Enrique Terrio. And the guy who took over was Biggs. And I was pretty outspoken saying both of them, I believe, were FBI informants. And this was going to be a slaughter pen operation where they just let everybody into the slaughter pen. I don't know if Biggs is in solitary confinement. If he was, I don't think that's right either. I don't think anybody should be in prison for political actions. If he knocked over a barrier, then, you know, give him 90 days or whatever, work release. But there was definitely FBI at the top running those operations. Four psychological operations. Emily Rainey admitted filling up four buses of people from Fort Bragg and going up to January 6th. That is, you know, that's pretty strong. That's a huge amount of people, informants, to put on Capitol Hill that day. So we may differ on Joe Biggs or not, and he's going to have his day in the Senate hearings, or he may already have confidential testimony. And Terrio probably will have his day or has already testified. And hopefully we'll see this congressional report that Schiff's putting together. I think it's a witch hunt, but we'll see as all the information comes out.
Yeah, we'll do a screen share here. The name of this man escapes me. Maybe it'll come up here in this article. But this man was definitely leading the charge to try to get people to go to the Capitol, even prior to Trump's speech being done, before Trump was done speaking. And then he was trying to rally people to go inside the Capitol. Others then pointed at him, videotaped him, and called him a Fed. They yelled at the guy, Fed, Fed, Fed. People can see right through this stuff. It does surprise me that you're not familiar with the name Stuart Rhodes. Are you familiar with Oath Keepers? Because I have interviewed Stuart several times in the past, and I always found him to be a forthright, courageous guy. And I just think there might be something shady going on here as it pertains to him, because I think he was a target of the FBI, but he hasn't been indicted like so many of these other people that didn't do anything wrong. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. But you're not familiar with Oath Keepers?
Oh, I'm familiar with Oath Keepers and Three Percenters, and I saw a lot of different things. I was pretty focused on Proud Boys, because I thought Proud Boys were going to get the, you know, if they were there, they were going to do the action. They had mustered earlier in the morning at SEIU. So I was tracking Joe Biggs that day. And there was this Ukrainian group that was in town that had been bussed in the night before. Many people believe they had been at the Maidan. So it wasn't because I didn't care about the Oath Keepers or the Three Percenters or the other groups. I just was focused in thinking that these are going to be the guys. If somebody does break the gates, it's going to be Joe Biggs and the Ukrainians mixed in with the regular volunteers that just got duped into going. And that's why I was where I was at 1 o'clock when they went through the gate, and it was that group. So I wasn't focused on the Oath Keepers as much as I was focused on the Proud Boys. But you know, I think this is one of those things where all the heroes are made out to be villains and all the villains are made out to be heroes. So anything can be true. That's why I do want to see the testimony in the light of day. So I can see these guys actually testifying rather than secret testimony on text that can be manipulated. But I'm just sorry. I'm just not familiar with Stuart Rhodes. Sure. I've heard the name. I just don't know.
Yeah, that's okay. But you were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Were you at the Capitol when this quote-unquote breach and insurrection, which it's the insurrection, it's so absurd. Were you at the Capitol right then and there at that time?
Yes. I was right there at the gate when they went through the gate on the Washington Monument side or the mall side. Literally, there's films of me where Joe Biggs walks right by me. They put the yellow hats on. I saw the yellow hats muster. I saw all the guys get out of the bus over by SEIU. They mustered on the lawn. They all had a big cigarette drag right before they all got together and locked arms and went through that gate. I was right there in the middle of it. I mean, they went right by me. Yeah.
So did you get a visit from the FBI? Because we're hearing that many people who were just there and didn't even go inside did get visits from the FBI.
I didn't get a visit from the FBI, but I do have people trying to put me in jail now, other YouTubers. And you just wonder, you know, because supposedly I obstructed justice and I said Biggs and Attario were FBI informants and that's obstructing justice. I don't understand that. I mean, if I don't care if the FBI tries to interdict a terrorist doing something bad. I mean, that's great. That's what the FBI should do. But I don't want them making up crime and making up stories and making up people and then leading people to this kind of slaughter pen type of thing. And I do think this is what's going to happen, though. This is going to be a purge. Adam Schiff's going to do a purge. And I've been told right before Congress goes on recess is they're going to do the roundup. It's going to be mostly journalists. I was there working Latinos for Trump. I had a press pass and everything. So, I mean, I'm a journalist there. I'm not Latino. I can't speak Spanish. We did a couple Spanish interviews, but this is crazy. This is like Gestapo stuff, really.
Yeah, I agree. And we can see it coming from Merrick Garland, the attorney general in the fraudulent Joe Biden administration, sending out that memo in which he was basically asked by the National School Board to label concerned parents showing up at school board meetings as terrorists because the school boards, the libtard school boards, they don't want to hear anything negative about critical race theory or porn cartoons being peddled to grade schoolers or anything negative about mask mandates or vaccine mandates. And Merrick Garland then dutifully did that. He said, you know, he might have the FBI and the DOJ take a look at these parents. So they're weaponizing the entire government against the people, George.
Well, I saw this thing with Ted Cruz. I'm not a huge Ted Cruz fan, but I have to say, you know, he said, you know, supposedly had hearings on threats to school board members, and there was 20 supposed threats. And then Cruz said 16 of them were nonviolent. So it's like, you know, you really should be bringing the four where there's violence involved. And the one Nazi salute was the parents saying, you know, you must vaccinate my child to get him in the school. You know, they were like, hey, this is, you know, Nazi, and, you know, to shame the school board. And it's the whole media turned that completely around to, oh, these right wingers, they love the Nazis. That doesn't surprise me. It's just complete ridiculous. You know, if the Democrats felt like the Republicans were being Nazi, I'm like, I play it down the middle of the fairway. I'm a reporter. So I play it down the middle of the fairway. I wouldn't say they don't have a right to have that free speech. You know, you can call the other side a Nazi. It's been around a while. It's not new. So why all of a sudden the whole onslaught of on the liberal side just attack these parents who are like, that's legitimate. This is not approved. These vaccines are not approved and you're putting it into my kid. I know people who almost died from vaccines, polio vaccines, some of the smallpox vaccines, some of the other vaccines. If you're concerned, you should be able to voice your opinion at the school board. I don't see why we have this demonization, but it's just getting worse, just getting worse.
Well, I think the mainstream media's approval rating is probably the lowest amongst any career aside from people in Congress. And let's talk about the election. I want to go back to Trump, and I want your views on this because, you know, when you use the word Nazi in an interview, then you get a lot of trolls in the comments saying you won't name the Jews. And, you know, it's always Jews and Nazis seem to be two labels that people get hung up on. But I want to ask you about Zionism, Donald Trump, you know, Jared Kushner. Is Trump a puppet president? Because I see that accusation a lot, too. I was very much a pro-Trump guy. And I firmly believe this election was stolen. The evidence coming out of the forensic audit in Arizona, I think, clearly illustrates that. We see malfeasance all over the country, especially in the swing states. So if Trump is a Zionist and a dutiful puppet just playing his role, then why did they have to steal this election, steal it so clumsily and obviously, and hand this thing to somebody who absolutely did not get 80 million votes? I'd be shocked if he got 60 million votes. Why did they do that if Trump's a puppet?
Yeah, I don't think Trump's a puppet. I think sometimes I question his choices around him. You know, Bannon, McMaster, Kelly, some of these people, Feinberg, some of these people that were really close to him in the national security side. That's my bailiwick, if you will. But I don't think he's a puppet. I think Trump, you know, it's like Kennedy. It is the last president who got too big for their britches and thought they were actually president. And I think they came as close to doing another Kennedy on Trump as you could get without the blood. His brother died right out down the stretch of COVID, and he had it at one point. And also, you know, they just said, look, we have a chance here to just make him the bad guy and say that they're still doing it. Look at Adam Schiff right now. And because they could. I don't think in Kennedy's day, because it wasn't electronic, it was still pretty much paper, they could get away with it. But I don't think he's a puppet. I think Trump just didn't realize that he kind of works for the Joint Chiefs. And the last guy who didn't think that he worked, or at least worked side by side with the Joint Chiefs, was Kennedy.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I've made the same point too. And the Democratic Party, I mean, it's ironic to think that John F. Kennedy was a Democrat. He'd be rolling in his grave if he could see what this party is now, the Democrat Party, which is just so anti-American and, in my view, anti-human. But, you know, there's also, I think, 9 rhinos that voted to also hold Steve Bannon in contempt. We have these rhinos, you know, Republicans in name only, Liz Cheney being the ultimate demon in the Republican Party, as far as I can tell. And so it's a fight for the country. It's a fight for the soul of the Republic. It's a fight for, look, I think the line in the sand is this vaccine mandate. You're right. It's an experimental biological gene therapy. It's not fully approved. It has emergency use authorization, which, according to the FDA, George, means they don't have to give informed consent to people. That's actually in the FDA bylaws regarding EAU authorization. You can just roll it out, secret concoction, don't tell people what's in it, just say it's safe and effective and make them take it. So I think that's the line in the sand as we fight for the Republic.
I agree with you. If they start going lower and lower on the children, that's where you're seeing the pushback. You know, not too much pushback. The unions push back in Australia, though. And, you know, we have two citizen journalists in our network down in Australia, and they showed a lot of the film, and that's what's coming. And it's bad news. This would make, you know, Nuremberg laws blush. So I really do think it's deep state. I know it's easy to get into the left-right thing. I tend to think it's more the military industrial folks in Washington that own Washington. There are some good Democrats, you know, called Tulsi Gabbard. I talked to her a couple of times. You know, there are some good Democrats. There are some good independents. There's good Republicans. But now's the time for all good men and women to come to the aid of their country, because there's so many sellouts. You know, Adam Kinzinger on the right, I've met him a couple of times. Man, what a CIA mouthpiece he is. It's time for the CIA folks to just go raise some horses in Virginia for a while, you know, and get out of the making our country into a police state.
Hey, friends, this is a good time for a quick break and a word about our sponsor. Yeah, it's Noble Gold. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Yeah, I agree. I've said many times, I don't really understand, and I'm very sincere when I say this, I don't understand how these people sleep at night, because at the very least, they're selling out their own country. And at the worst, they're selling out humanity. For what, a paycheck? Or do they actually think they're part of some big club where there will never be any repercussions for them, only rewards?
Well, I remember Steve Feinberg. I interviewed a gal who worked for him at the U.S. State Department, USAID. And Feinberg ran DynCorp, which does all these bioweapons and so forth. And a lot of people think,
trafficking.
And he had that background too, in Kosovo and using these kids. And then, you know, Les Wexner ends up with them in Columbus on a modeling runway, you know, a year later. So, I mean, there's a really horrible UN peacekeeper, DynCorp. DynPort is the joint venture with Port and Down, which made the anthrax and all these other, you know, poisons. These are really attenuated bioweapons. That's why I'm here in Fort Detrick. And the dirty little secret now is you don't need to make much change to the bioweapon, to the bioagent, to have a vaccine. You just say, instead of the spike protein, the envelope protein, the membrane protein, and all the 7 different proteins, you just do the spike protein. And there you go. Now you're getting $1 trillion in warp speed. You know, Trump did warp speed, but I think he did it because there was a lot of people around him saying, if you don't do it, they're going to use this against you in the election. And, you know, from a health point of view, you know, he's not a scientist. He probably said, let's do it. But I'd rather have it and then use it judiciously. I don't think Trump would be mandating. I think he'd say, hey, I have it here for people who want it and need it. I do think this is the line in the sand. I think that you're seeing this in Australia now, and it's coming here, unfortunately. I see clouds on the horizon getting darker.
Well, just a couple of thoughts. One of the things that I think is disgusting that Trump just said is that he's still very proud of the vaccines. He's taking credit for having rolled them out and having developed them under his watch. And that, you're right, he wouldn't mandate them because he would sweet talk people into taking them. So I find that very disturbing. I still like Trump because I hate Biden so much. I have such disdain for the Biden administration and their anti-American policies that I do want to see President Trump run again. I want to see another President Trump, right? I want people who put our country first. MAGA is not a toxic idea. You know, let's make America great again. Let's put America first. Let's have border security. Can we start there? I mean, my God, we don't have a country without border security, and we can see another migrant caravan coming here. And why wouldn't they? This president wants to give them each $450,000 each, George.
Wow. Well, I mean, all these things make so much sense. I think Barack Obama and Bill Clinton both talked about need for immigration reform and to limit the number of immigrants, you know, so I totally agree with you on that one. You know, on the vaccine, I've had all my vaccines when I was a kid. They seemed to work. You know, I ended up getting all the stuff anyway. You know, I had mumps, measles, chickenpox. I had them all. And I don't know if I had them after the vaccines or not. But it was different then because it was the live attenuated or the dead vaccine. You know, it wasn't this experimental thing. And everyone would tell you that's involved in this mRNA is completely experimental. The DNA one, the J&J, is much less experimental. But I do think this thing is forced. and this mandate is bad. It's hard for me to weigh in on. I'll say this. I think Trump developed and flowered as a president in terms of his advocacy for the common man. And it just doesn't seem like Joe Biden even can hear somebody else in the White House, let alone have an ear for the common man. And I think at the end of the day, that's what wins elections. You know, if you know, Bill Clinton, I mean, is slick Willie, but man, he was good to eat chicken at the barbecue with all the other guys at the, you know, the police and the fire and all the union guys. I think Trump had that touch, you know, that personal touch with the common man for winning elections. I think he could come back. I've gone to a lot of his rallies, interviewed a lot of the supporters. He's a force to be reckoned with. They don't want him running again. I mean, they have everything to make sure he never runs again. They're still running against him right now. You know, that shows you how much they fear him.
Yeah. As you know, George, I was very much a pro-Trump guy when he was in office, when he was running for office. And, you know, I still am, because I don't see any other alternative for this country. I don't see anybody else who's willing to put America first and, you know, put the common man first and actually who cares about this country. So let's talk a little bit about the economy and where you think this thing is headed. We're on a sinking ship. $30 trillion in debt, and these clowns want to spend, what, another $3.5 trillion? Fortunately, they're getting some pushback. But unfortunately, people like even Jack Dorsey are now saying hyperinflation is here. How does this story end in your view? Are you seeing evidence of hyperinflation? Are you concerned about hyperinflation? Because that would be the great deal breaker. I just made a point in a recent video. The forced vax, the experimental vax, plus hyperinflation equals a depop event, in my view.
Well, there's some, you know, good reason for believing that. I think the scarcity is the thing I've seen, the key things. You know, people can't get bicycles and people can't travel and you know, lockdown type of thing keeps shelter in place, you know, and now vaccine in place, I think is the big thing. I don't see big hyperinflation across the board. We had wood go up sporadically and different building materials go up when they wanted to slow that. But I see this Klaus Schwab guy with the robots and then saying, hey, let's get rid of all the longshoremen. I interviewed a lot of longshoremen in Port of Long Beach, where half the port is robot and half the other port is longshoremen who can't work because of the virus. And now here's the robots coming. So I don't see that Dorsey thing. I've heard a lot about this, but if we do have that, I'm thinking Weimar Republic. This is what they did in Germany to, you know, get out of all the smart money, got out of Deutschmarks and just ran it up to, you needed a car full of Deutschmarks to buy a loaf of bread. And then they collapse the economy and buy everything pennies on the dollar. I mean, that seems like what Klaus Schwab is doing.
That's funny that you mentioned Klaus, because that's where I was going to go prior to the economy, World Economic Forum, the Great Reset. I think it's all part of this. It's all by design, in my view. These Yep. supply chain shortages are all contrived. They're being brought about. They're being made to happen. Look, the largest owner now, I think, of farmland in the United States is Bill Gates. Do you think he bought all that farmland because he cares about the people and he wants to supply the people with nutritious, healthy food? I don't. No. So Bill Gates is part of this thing, too. And it kind of gets me back, coming full circle here, back to the idea of how do these people sleep at night? Do they think that they will never be prosecuted for their crimes? Are they above the law? Or does humanity stand a chance here because now we know who these people are? We can name the names.
Yeah, I think there's a real strategy here that they've convinced themselves at the Club of Rome and the World Economic Forum and Bilderberg and where all the other, you know, people eat their, you know, shrimp cocktails at these clubs. They've all convinced themselves that the big risk here is the gun owners, you know, in America. I have never owned a gun. I don't recommend gun violence or anything like that, but I respect everybody's right because it's the Second Amendment. You know, it's the first is the most important. The second was the second most important. They put them in the order of importance. So I think they really fear that. And then they have created this kind of monster in their mind. Liberals have kind of created the monster that these people are going to take over. With these groups, you know, I was standing there amongst all of them. It's just, it looked like, the guys got off the, you know, Fort Bragg bus, and then they put the orange hats on, and now they're supposed to be, you know, Patriots. I definitely think there is something like the takedown of Germany, you know, before the Nazis came in, that's happening right now. If we do go into that hyperinflation, that's what happened with the Weimar Republic. And Klaus, you know, his dad was the top contractor for Hitler. That first play, he made the flamethrowers first, and then he, of course, Sulzer, Bingham and everything. But the first thing, and all the nuclear, and he's doing small nukes now. The first place the Nazis stopped, and Kissinger and Alan Dulles were the key guys putting them into our national laboratories, the paperclip scientists. So this has been going on a while. But I think now it's like, you know, they've sawed off all the, or half sawed all the bridge trestles, and now they're ready to yank it. You know, I think we're at the yanking part of the story. They've been sawing for a long time, but this is coming quick.
Yeah, it's almost like World Trade Center 7. It's been wired and they're just waiting to detonate it. Just a couple more questions before we lose you here. Terry McAuliffe, I just heard the other day, I don't know who said it, might have been Dan Bongino, I don't recall, but someone said, if Terry McAuliffe wins, say goodbye to your Second Amendment. You just mentioned the Second Amendment. It's very, very important. It's what's keeping these people at bay. It's why what they're doing in Australia can't happen here. And they're trying to do it in certain states. Look at the Democrat states. Look at that demon Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, New York, California under Gavin Newsom. Your view, Terry McAuliffe, pretty bad guy. And what happens to our Second Amendment if these people seize control?
Really bad guy. Henchman for the Clintons forever. They've been buddies. But the whole green, he had a green car company that was a big fraud and everything. I mean, Terry McAuliffe is a smooth politician, but yes, it's over for guns in Virginia. It's over. I mean, it's funny because I'm in Maryland here, you can't, nothing. And then you go across to Virginia, there's open carry, you know, people coming in, they get 10% off on gun night, you know what I mean? So it's just like one mile away, such a difference. There can be, they're going to go state by state. And then when they get enough, then they go for the whole national bill. And I definitely think Virginia is the bellwether for this. If you get 25, 26, 27, they get around 30 states. That's when they're going to go for the ban. And Australia, I was in Australia when they implemented the ban on weapons and people had to sell them to the government. Became illegal to own firearms. It's going to be hard to believe Americans will give them up. I don't think that's going to happen. There will be a conflict at some point. If they try to do the Australia thing, that's when you're going to have open, you're going to have some bad stuff.
Rebellion. Well, you know, the good news, as I see it, and I continue to say this and praise God that our founders had the prescience to set this thing up the way they did. The federal government derives its power by the consent of the governed, by the consent of the states. The states have the supreme power, so the states can just ignore it. So I think ultimately, and boy, I don't want to see a blue state versus red state civil war, but ultimately, if you live in a state that is going to play ball with this criminal federal government in unconstitutional executive orders, then you have to get out of that state and go to a state that will actually defend your liberty, right? I mean, so at the end of the day, the good news is there are states that will defend your liberty, and those will be the pockets of freedom that will have to stand up to this new world order. Again, Lori Lightfoot, she pledged her allegiance to what she calls the new world order. She wants to stack her little local government with people who will also pledge their allegiance to the new world order. That's what this is all about. It's about global government, United Nations taking the guns, and I guess as Klaus Schwab says, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy in the Great Reset. So enjoy it, slave.
Yeah, all that's true. You know, that's the shocking thing. It's not exaggeration. And I'm very familiar with Lori Lightfoot in Chicago. And we went there and did many shows about gun violence in Holman Square. We went to Holman Square several times. So, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you got the strictest gun laws in the world. We got more dead bodies in Holman Square than, you know, anywhere else in the country. I think they really want to push this smart cities thing. The smart cities isn't just about, it isn't green energy. It's about maintaining, you know, knowledge of where everyone is in the city, where the guns are in the city, and just total pervasive surveillance, global information grid type of thing. And it's through everything you can think of, Internet of Things, your car, your microwave, your, you know, it's just everything, all your laptop devices and so forth. And then the farmland is kind of like, well, we'll just, you know, we'll just shut the roads down and then we'll put in the checkpoints. And the cool thing from their point of view about a vaccine checkpoint between states is, hey, now I have a reason to start asking a lot of questions, you know, when somebody's trying to move from state to state. So I think that's the next step. If this is lockstep, if this is the Rockefeller lockstep plan, is the first canary in the mine shaft for me. I mean, I've seen a lot of canaries, maybe Big Bird in the mine shaft would be state border checks. You know, when they start checking you between that is when it's time to start thinking about land in Mexico, I think. Not because we don't love our country, but you can't let them imprison you where you sleep. That's not good.
Yeah. Show me your papers, please. It can't happen here. We can't allow it to happen here. It's a slippery slope into absolute despotism. And we can see that push being made again right now in this country, mostly in the Democrat controlled states, Democrat governors, Democrat mayors, really pushing for all of this. They want to mandate vaccines. They want to push the vaccines on the children. If you live in California, evidently, if you want your child to go to a public school, you got to get the jab. It's absolute an attack on humanity, and it just pisses me off. Before I let you go, I'd be remiss not to ask you about John Durham. You know, I followed the Q stuff a little bit. I paid the penalty for doing so and reporting about some of the Q drops. To me, a lot of those drops were kind of similar to the work you were doing. There was names named that I hadn't heard of before. There were rat lines that could be followed. Your view on any white hats that might still have some ability to take the country back? Your view on John Durham, his investigation, will there ever be arrests of deep state criminals in your view?
Well, not John Durham. I mean, that's like Trust Sessions, Trust Barr, Trust, you know, Durham, who was the guy in Utah, Trust that guy. They were all just, you know, wait. Don't follow anybody doing real journalism. You know, the guys I trust, Sean, are the guys like you and me, because you can hear it in the voice of people. You can see it when they go around. They don't talk in code. They don't talk in parables that you can interpret 100 different ways. They don't hide behind letters. They use their real name. They look into the camera. They take questions. They do interviews. This is what you want to look for in a leader. These are the people that you want to support. If you want to support someone who's out there, I know you had a thing with YouTube, I think, with the lawsuit there. Support the people that you could actually see, you know, that and you meet. I've had 28, 29 different, you know, rallies or whatever around the country for the purpose of so people meet me and they know who I am. So Durham always was in a vacuum. He never was transparent about anything. And they keep dangling this out sort of like this carrot to get the donkey to go over the cliff. I think it's just another slaughter pen. And the only people that are going to be able to do it, Sean, are people like you and me, who get the people rallied and share the information as long as we can. As long as we have this First Amendment for people like you and me, I think there's a chance. And people don't put your faith into some big thing, you know, like Trust Sessions, Trust Barr, Trust all these hopa. Some people call it hopium. It's really about doing on the ground journalism every day. That's the key.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the kind words about being able to trust me and stuff like that. But it's obvious that I don't appear in my videos and I don't usually use my full name. SGT are my initials for those that don't know. My name is out there. It can be found. But when I first started doing this work, I was an executive at Target Corporation and I didn't want to risk my livelihood by getting a little too truthy. And the other thing that's always concerned me is as somebody that went to journalism school, I realized that had I gone into TV reporting, broadcast journalism, anything like that, there would be a bit of a cult of personality in that, you know, if I sort of got famous on a local level as a reporter, then when I'm walking through the grocery store, I'd be self-conscious about, you see, I didn't ever want that. I didn't want my channel to be about cult of personality. There's great people doing that. Mark Dice is a guy I respect. He's become famous doing what he does. Of course, Alex Jones, so many other people. I just didn't ever want to have to deal with the fame component and then the self-consciousness, the being self-conscious surrounding my who I am, what I look like. And so that's sort of why I did it. Primarily, I did it at first, though, because I didn't want to lose my job at Target Corporation by talking about the deep state and child sex trafficking, which is exactly what would happen. They don't want you talking about the collapse of World Trade Center 7 when you work for Target Corporation.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because I know you and I mean, I know your name and I've read the lawsuits and so forth. So I figured everyone knows your name. And, you know, when you do legal filings, you can't have these, names. So that's interesting that you feel that you're behind a nom de guerre. But anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. I feel very comfortable talking to you. That's why I'm doing the interview. But Q always was, who is Q? I always felt it was somebody over there at Defense Information Agency to create disinformation, to get people not to follow people like you. I think, you know, there's a desire in every person to know that they're getting the truth. And they have to live their life in an honest way. Some people just couldn't. I can't do that. I can't live a lie. I can't even a little bit. I have to do what I think is right. It could be the wrong thing, but at least I think I'm doing the right thing, right? This Q thing, I mean, they dropped a few things in there. The Awan thing, for instance, a few times. And I was like, oh, hey, they're coming around. This will bring over a lot of people to look at the stuff we uncovered with the Awans. But then they went away. Then they started with the trust this, trust that. As soon as you ever hear that word trust, look for a different person leading you. Because yeah. I never trust me. I say, meet me. I say, ask me any question you want to ask me. Get to know me. But don't trust me. Trust the stuff I dig up. You know, cross-reference and cross-check that.
Yeah, I always hated that phrase, trust the plan, in the Q thing. And I bumped on it a lot. And I took heat for it. I did an interview with Red Pill 78. I was on his show. And I got pretty mad about it because he always says, trust the plan, sit back and grab your popcorn. And I always think that is the worst possible thing to say to anybody. Okay, first of all, this isn't it's not a TV show. You know, what was going on and what is going on now is deadly serious. So you don't grab your popcorn, sit back and enjoy the show. You need to be engaged, informed, and you need to talk to your friends, neighbors, and colleagues to try to wake them up and take your country back on a local level. So, all right, last thing here, one more screen share and I'll let you go. You've been generous with your time.
I don't do a lot of Zoom, so this is interesting. I'm checking it out.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And final thing here, FDA authorizes Pfizer jabs for American children between ages 5 and 11. So help me decipher this. Next up, the CDC's vaccine advisory panel, all of whom, by the way, are on the take from Pfizer. I think maybe with the exception of one, they'd all either worked for Pfizer, lobbied for Pfizer, gotten grants for Pfizer. I mean, it's just a fascist revolving door at the FDA. But I don't know. The bottom line to me, George, is when they start coming after our kids, that is the line in the sand that you have to get informed. You have to be knowledgeable about this killer vaccine, because they won't even tell folks what the ingredients are. They won't even tell people what's in it.
Yeah, I do agree. That's the line in the sand. And if you look at this RNA, mRNA thing, it's DARPA from day one. DARPA, Moderna is DARPA. Moderna would not exist if it wasn't for DARPA.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. I know this is their first successful product ever. They had no other products, and suddenly they come up with this magical concoction. And by the way, you have to love mix and match. You have to just appreciate how scientific that is. If you want the booster, if you had Pfizer, go try Moderna. You know, we think that might even give you more protection. Or if you had the Moderna, go get the Pfizer. Or maybe try Johnson & Johnson. Mix and match. Boy, that's science, George.
Well, since 2011, since the very first day, they didn't open the door and buy the office chairs at Moderna without DARPA money. And BioNTech, who's the real provider of the mRNA to Pfizer, is CIA from, I'll say IARPA and DARPA from day one. They're right there at University of Maryland development lab there. CIA had IARPA, and then DARPA is the defense DOD's advanced research projects. So we're living a DARPA world here. My latest book is, you know, World War DARPA. None Dare Call It DARPA is the book before that. I mean, I'm really hitting on this theme. But going back to your point is, every year they go down in the jab with the mandate, knowing that the kids don't get it, right? Or very, very extremely rarely. But my kid has to have it anyway. And the kid next to him has, you know, people don't see the logic of it. And when people feel like you're coming for their kids, they're going to act at some point as like, you know, the mama, you know, bear, or, you know what I mean? They're going to fight back. This Australia thing isn't going to happen here. And I don't want to see that happen in my country. But.
Well, friends, it looks like we just lost George. That's unusual. We were just going to wrap this up. I guess I'll just summarize the conversation by saying, y'all know the truth. We're under attack, and it's very scary to learn that DARPA is behind all of this. What is DARPA? The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. It's a research and development agency of the United States Department of Defense responsible for the development of emerging technologies for use by the military. Just terrifying to think the things they're behind. Friends, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'll remind you, George Webb's site is neighborhoodnewsstudio.com. My site, of course, is sgtreport.com and thephaser.com. We also have thelibertymill.com, which needs some TLC as soon as my webmaster Eric is back. And I want to thank my subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. Thank you so much for keeping us in the fight for truth and real news. And of course, for real news 24/7, you guys can visit us directly at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. I want to personally thank you for tuning in to the podcast version of SGT Report, the propaganda antidote. Just a quick word about our sponsor, Shrinkflation. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
These people are so twisted. And look, it's a pedophile agenda. All of this, I believe, comes back to pedophilia. They've got their people in power. They have them compromised, blackmailed.
Well, that's it for now, friends. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And I'll remind you every single day for free, visit us directly at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.